الحمد لله نحمده سبحانه ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله تعالى فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل، فقد أمرنا الله تعالى بذلك في كتابه الكريم، فقال تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وقال تعالى: يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. ثم أما بعد. Dear brothers and sisters, one of the wives of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, أم المؤمنين Safiya رضي الله تعالى عنها, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked her when was the first time that she heard about Islam and Islam had entered her heart, or when she started getting interested in Islam. And she says, Ya Rasulullah. And Safiya رضي الله تعالى عنها was the daughter of one of the Jewish heads, one of the Jewish chiefs in Medina, Huyay ibn al-Akhtab. She says that when she was young, she remembers the day when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered, and we know that the people and the Ansar and the Muhajirin that had come, they all went out to greet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, that it was the most illuminated day to ever come upon Medina, was the day the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered it. And the same way that the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum revered the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there was two people amongst that crowd that despised the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam as much as everyone else revered him. It was the father of Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha and her uncle. She says that she was a young girl at that time, and she says she remembers the day when her father came back with her uncle, and they went out with a face other than the face that they had come back with. They came back with gloom, and they came back with darkness, their faces to the ground. And she sat there and she listened as her uncle asked her father, Huyay. He asked him, he said, is it him? Is it really the Prophet? And listen, Huyay says, it is the Prophet. It is the one that we've been told about in our scriptures. And now look, they know the Prophet, and they know that this is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, just like they could pick out their children from a group of children, they knew that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was the Messenger of Allah. She listened as her uncle said to him, is he really the Prophet? And he said, yes. And he said, so what are we going to do? And he said, we're going to be his enemies until the final day. Dear brothers and sisters, from the very first rak'ah of the Taraweeh, we've been reciting قوله تعالى اهدنا الصراط المستقيم, guide us to the straight path. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. We read in the salah every rak'ah, Alhamdulillah, Rabbi Surat al-Fatiha, and as we come, we pray to Allah, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم, guide us to the straight path, صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم, the path of those that you bestowed your favor upon, غير المغضوب عليهم, not the path of those that evoked your anger. Adi ibn Hatim, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, who are the maghdubi alayhim? He said, who are those that evoked Allah's anger, that made Allah angry at them? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, humul yahud. They are the Jews. And so every time you're reciting in Surah Al-Fatiha, And in fact, these in some Muslim countries, they wanted to take out the verses because they wanted to have good relationships with Israel and with the Jews. They said, let's not teach in our curriculum the verses that deal of and speak about the Jews. And subhanAllah, the ulama said, what are they going to do with غير المغضوب عليهم? Are they going to take out Surah Al-Fatiha from the curriculum? They cannot take it out. When I was in high school and we were studying in journalism class, the teacher had put up a poster on the board that had said, and it had just a picture of a computer and a pen, and it said, freedom of the press. We always hear about, we have the freedom to speech and freedom of the press. It says, freedom of the press belongs to those people that own the press. It belongs to the person who owns the press. True, the Washington Post has the freedom to say what it wants, but it's the writer and the owners of the Washington Post that can say what they want. It's not anybody that can say it, it's the person that owns that newspaper. And if you'll see from Spielberg to any, just go through the credits of any movie that we say that, oh, it's okay if our children can watch these or not, and people letting their Muslim children day after day to pacify them, they put them in front of a kafir, they put them in front of a Jew, in front of a Christian, in the television set, and only one-way instruction. And their entire life, every day, 2-3 hours, every single day, they're listening to a Jew or a Christian instruct them in their aqidah. And indeed it is aqidah. Because they tell them what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made haram, show after show tells that Muslim child that it's okay and it isn't really haram. It's okay to do this. And a parent, if this was a human being, the parent would have kicked them out long time ago. But because it's a television set, they think that it's permissible. And so, because the Muslim youth are growing up on the aqidah, and the most beloved people to them are becoming actors and actresses, Jewish actresses, Christian actresses, that when they hear a speech about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala condemned the Jews, they say, what's wrong with Seinfeld? Every Wednesday at 8 p.m. primetime television, they're watching Seinfeld and he's funny. Are you telling me Seinfeld is going to hellfire? And that's what's in their mind. Because they had laughed and spent very joyous moments with these sitcoms, that now they can't understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling them in the Quran. But I tell you, dear brothers and sisters, this khutbah is our press. This khutbah is our media. And inshaAllah ta'ala, in these few moments, you'll see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not do dhulm. لا يظلم مثقال ذرة. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't do an atom's weight of oppression to anyone. And if the Jews evoked Allah's anger, then they did it for a reason. And Allah, page after page in the Quran, shows us the reason why the Jews evoked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's anger. In Surah Al-Baqarah, and you'll see that all these verses that speak about the Jews, they're Madani surahs. From Surah Al-Baqarah, Al-Ma'idah, Al-An'am, Al-A'raf, verse after verse speaking about the Jews. Even from page 1 of the Quran, you'll see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dividing the people, dividing the Muslims, the munafiqs, then the kuffar, and then speaking about the Jews, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya Bani Israel, اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم وأوفوا بعهدي أوف بعهدكم وإياي فارهبون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls them in such a beautiful name, Ya Bani Israel, O children of Israel, O Bani Israel, اذكروا, remember ni'mati, remember my favor upon you, ni'mati allati an'amtu alaykum, remember my favor upon you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling them back before the evoking of anger, before the cursing, before that. Allah is telling them, come back to me. And it's not just the Jews that get cursed if they don't come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's every human soul. If they don't remember the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and come back to them, that they will be cursed and they will be doomed to hellfire. اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم وأوفوا بعهدي أوفي بعهدكم. And complete my covenant, complete the promise that you made to me, I'll complete my promises to you. وَإِيَّايَ فَرْهَبُونَ. And fear me, and only let it be me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you fear. Allah said they were slaves to Fir'aun, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved them from that slavery. When Musa had taken them, and they had reached the sea, and this raging sea was in front of them, and the whole army of Fir'aun with the sword and the warriors were about to murder them and slaughter them on the sea, they told Musa, "Inna lamudrakun." He said, we've been caught, and now we're going to be slaughtered. You, Musa, have brought us to this, and now we're all going to die. And he said, "Qala kalla." He said, "Inna ma'ya Rabbi sayhdeen." That no, I have my Lord with me, and He will guide me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Musa to throw the stick and the staff into the sea, and the sea parted for them. And dear brothers and sisters, you can't imagine a sea parting in front of Bani Israel. You have to realize that they're not normal. They've seen the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They saw that sea part for them. They walked through the sea, and they came up on the other side. And when Fir'aun and his people and his army came through, Allah closed the sea upon them. And they saw Fir'aun drown. And they saw the entire army drown. And you'll see now how they replied these blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the blessings keep going on and on, and the favors upon them. And you'll see page after page in the Quran how they replied this ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon them. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَأَنِّي فَضَّلْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. And that I preferred you over all the people of that time, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had preferred them over the others. وَأَنِّي فَضَّلْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent provision from them, from the heavens, al-manni wa-salwa, that they were being provided for food from the heavens. And the ni'mas go on and on, and we don't have time to even tip the iceberg of the ni'mah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had put upon them. But how did they reply this? Number one, that whenever something came to them, whether it was a commandment or a prophet, they only followed that which they wished to follow. The things that agreed with their desires, that was what they followed from the scriptures. The verses that they liked and agreed with them, they would follow it, and the verses that they didn't agree, they would reject it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
لَقَدْ أَخَذْنَا مِيثَاقَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ وَأَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهِمْ رُسُلًا كُلَّمَا جَاءَهُمْ رَسُولٌ بِمَا لَا تَهْوَى أَنفُسُهُمْ فَرِيقًا كَذَّبُوا وَفَرِيقًا يَقْتُلُونَ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we took the promise, the covenant from Bani Israel, and we sent them prophets. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not that we hear about prophets, they had prophets sitting amongst them, teaching them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent these prophets to them and these messengers. وَأَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهِمْ رُسُلًا كُلَّمَا جَاءَهُمْ رَسُولٌ بِمَا لَا تَهْوَى أَنفُسَهُمْ. That every time a messenger came to them, which what they didn't desire and what their whims didn't agree with, they did one of two things. فَرِيقًا كَذَّبُوا وَفَرِيقًا يَقْتُلُونَ. That they would either disbelieve in him and call that prophet a liar, or in with other prophets, they would slit the throat and murder that prophet. They would either disbelieve Allah's messenger, or they would either kill him. That was how they replied it. And when you see people writing documentaries about Arab-Israeli things, everybody claims to be neutral. Everybody claims to be neutral. But here, you're not listening to the words of a human being. You're listening to Rabbul Alameen, the words of Rabbul Alameen, the Lord of the universe, who's telling us the nature of these people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every time you say sadaqallah, وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَدِيثًا, that who is more truthful in speech than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Jews changed the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the Jews, in order to keep their people pacified, if they didn't agree with something that was in the Torah, they would change it. they would either add things or delete things and change the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَإِنَّ مِنْهُمْ لَفَرِيقًا يَلْوُونَ أَلْسِنَتَهُمْ بِالْكِتَابِ لِتَحْسَبُوهُ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَمَا هُوَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَيَقُولُونَ هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ وَمَا هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ وَيَقُولُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ الْكَذِبَ وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّ مِنْهُمْ لَفَرِيقًا يَلْوُونَ أَلْسِنَتَهُمْ بِالْكِتَابِ. That indeed, there is amongst them a party who alter the book, the scripture, the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with their tongues, لِتَحْسَبُوهُ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ, so that you'll think that this is part of the scripture, وَمَا هُوَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ, and it's not part of the scripture. وَيَقُولُونَ هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ, and they say that this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ, and it's not from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيَقُولُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ الْكَذِبِ وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ, and they lie against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they know full knowing of what they're doing. The Jews and the Christians like them claimed that they were the children of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that they were the most beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that Nu'man ibn Asa, Bahr ibn Amr, and Shas ibn Adi, who were three Jews that lived in Medina, and they were from the chiefs of the Jews, they came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and sat with him and discussed with him, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained to them about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about Islam, and encouraged them to become Muslim and warned them from disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they replied to him, they said, why are you trying to scare us, O Muhammad? By Allah, we are the children of Allah and His most beloved. He said, why are you trying to scare us when we, the Jews, are the most beloved of Allah, we are the children of Allah and His most beloved. And at that, the verse of the Qur'an was revealed,
وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ وَالنَّصَارَى نَحْنُ أَبْنَاءُ اللَّهِ وَأَحِبَّاؤُهُ قُلْ فَلِمَ يُعَذِّبُكُمْ بِذُنُوبِكُمْ بَلْ أَنْتُمْ بَشَرٌ مِّمَّنْ خَلَقَ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ وَالنَّصَارَى, and the Jews and the Christians say, نَحْنُ أَبْنَاءُ اللَّهِ وَأَحِبَّاءُ, that we are the children of Allah and Allah's most beloved. قُلْ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam how to reply to the statement, قُلْ فَلِمَ يُعَذِّبُكُمْ بِذُنُوبِكُمْ, say, then why does He punish you for your sins? بَلْ أَنْتُمْ بَشَرٌ مِّمَّنْ خَلَقَ, that actually, that you're just human beings from all the creation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. The Jews made blasphemous statements against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Medina, there came upon the Jews a time of poverty. And one of the Jews, and the Jews came to their scholars and asked them, what's this poverty that's come upon us? Aren't we the beloved children? Aren't we, you know, God's favor? And Shas, like we mentioned, this was the person that had spoken to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, Shas said to them, as his fatwa to them, why that they were suffering in this poverty, he said that your Lord is stingy, that your Lord is bakhil, your Lord is stingy, and he doesn't provide for us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in the Quran,
وقالت اليهود يد الله مغلولة غلت أيديهم ولعنوا بما قالوا بل يداه مبسوطتان ينفق كيف يشاء.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وقالت اليهود يد الله مغلولة. They say, and the Jews say, the hand of Allah is chained, meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't provide. وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ يَدُ اللَّهِ مَغْلُولَةٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replies them, غُلَّتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ, that their hands are chained, وَلُعِنُوا بِمَا قَالُوا, and they were cursed for what they said. And here you will always see the reasons for the curses upon them. وَلُعِنُوا بِمَا قَالُوا And they were cursed for what they said. بَلْ يَدَاهُ مَبْسُوتَتَانْ Rather, both his hands are extended. يُنْفِقُ كَيْفَ يَشَاء That he, subhanahu wa ta'ala, spends however he wills. And from the most evil of sins that the Jews did was the murdering of their prophets. And this is one of the major reasons that this humiliation had come upon the Jews and these curses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَضُرِبَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الذِّلَّةُ وَالْمَسْكَنَةُ وَبَاءُوا بِغَضَبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يَكْفُرُونَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَيَقْتُلُونَ النَّبِيِّينَ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, And they were covered with humiliation and poverty and returned with the anger from Allah upon them. That was because they repeatedly disbelieved in the signs of Allah and killed the prophets without right, without haq. And not only did they try to murder and assassinate the prophets that were with them, and in fact there were prophets that they had killed, they tried and attempted to murder Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to Bani Nadir, the Jews that were living in Medina. And when he went there to discuss the matter, they had sat on a wall in that community of the Jews. And when they saw him sitting there, they said to themselves that we'll have no better chance to murder him than this chance. And so they took a boulder and they climbed up to the top of that building, and they were there ready to throw the boulder down to crush the head of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to murder and assassinate him. Jibreel alayhi salam came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up, not speaking to the companions, stood up and walked away, and walked all the way back to Medina. Nobody knew why he had stood up. And he went there, and when they saw him coming back, he was coming back with an army of the Muslims, coming back to the community of Bani Nadir, and that led to the expulsion of Bani Nadir from Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara. And the list goes on and on in the Qur'an. In fact, there's one author that had written a book on this, the reason, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about the Jews in the Qur'an, only just a few points of it, and he had gone into three huge volumes of the verses that spoke about the Jews and the reasons why they were cursed. And you'll see from verse after verse that the Jews were cursed because they didn't command the good and they didn't forbid the evil. The Jews were cursed because the ruling of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came to them and they rejected it. They were cursed because when the books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came, they disbelieved in those books. They were cursed because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down upon them food from the heavens, and they weren't pleased with that, and they wanted something other than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was providing them with. They asked Musa alayhi salam to show them. They challenged him, show Allah to us right now. Show Allah to us in front of our eyes. They set up enemy ship, or they were declared enemies, open enemies to Jibreel alayhi salam. And they tried to distinguish between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messengers, and tried to distinguish between the messengers and the prophets. And when the prophets had died, the Jews would go to those graves and take those graves as places of worship. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ الْيَهُودَ وَالنَّصَارَى اتَّخَذُوا قُبُورَ أَنْبِيَائِهِمْ مَسَاجِدٍ He said, may the curse of Allah, or the curse of Allah is upon the Jews and the Christians. When their prophets died, they took their graves as a place of worship, a place to do sajda. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أو بعد. If you could move up, inshallah. Make room for the brothers outside. There are verses in the Quran which speak about how the Jews and the Christians were condemned. And so Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he was explaining this to the companions, and he quoted this verse, they said, wasn't this verse revealed for the Jews and the Christians? And he said, Subhanallah. He said, are all the glad tidings in the Quran for us, and all the admonitions and warnings for them? He said, nay, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals and narrates these ayats and brings us the stories of Bani Israel, the stories of the Christians, teaching us that if our deeds are the same deeds as theirs, our end will be the same end as them. And this is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us this. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned us in the sunnah of following the Jews and the Christians. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَتَتَّبِعُنَّ سُنَنَ مَنْ قَبْلَكُمْ. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that you will follow and imitate and right behind piggyback the sunnahs of those people that came before you, the practices of those people that came before you. So much so that if they were to go into a lizard hole, you'd piggyback, go right behind into that lizard hole. And then they said, أَلْيَهُودَ وَالنَّصَارَى. Is it the Jews and the Christians? And the Prophet ﷺ said, فَمَنْ. He said, who else other than the Jews and the Christians? And indeed, when you read the ayat of why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cursed the Jews, you will see that many Muslims are falling into these same practices. And I'll give you an example of that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran,
فَخَلَفَ مِن بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ وَرِثُوا الْكِتَابَ يَأْخُذُونَ عَرَضَ هَذَا الْأَدْنَى وَيَقُولُونَ سَيُغْفَرُ لَنَا.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking, after speaking about Bani Israel, فَخَلَفَ مِن بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ, that their people came after them, successors came after them, وَرِثُوا الْكِتَابَ, they inherited the scripture. Pay attention. And it was as if you may be speaking about the current situation of the Muslims. وَرِثُوا الْكِتَابَ, they inherited the scripture, the books. يَأْخُذُونَ عَرَضَ هَذَا الْأَدْنَى. And they continue, even though they had the scripture with them and they inherited it, not understanding what's inside of it, not practicing it. يَأْخُذُونَ عَرَضَ هَذَا الْأَدْنَى, that they would take, that they kept taking the haram earnings, kept the commodities of this worldly life, the low, meaning the haram and the haram pleasures, they continued to indulge in them, even though they had the scripture. وَيَقُولُونَ سَيُغْفَرُ لَنَا. And they say, we will be forgiven. We will be forgiven. And another verse, that if they say that if we do enter hellfire, if by chance that we enter hellfire, we'll only go in for a little while. This is what the Jews said. And you'll see that how can the Muslims who have inherited this Quran not understand that maybe because we were born, maybe some of us were born with Islam and we don't understand the Quran that's sitting on the shelves, and so much so that you'll see our Muslim youth, you can see the percentage of the Muslim youth that understand the language of COBOL, understand the language of A++, computer languages, symbols and numbers, and they understand it. They can make graphics from it. They can make computer programs. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ, they don't understand what that means. They don't understand what that means. They can understand symbols and plus signs and minus signs, but they don't understand قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ, won't they contemplate the Qur'an? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He came after them, they inherited the book, but they continued to indulge in their haram practices, continued to take their haram earnings, you will see the Muslims waging war against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the riba that they are taking. The Muslim after Muslim indulging, going to the bank and pulling out that riba money, pulling out that riba money, taking and giving, buying this, buying that, I need this, I need that, indulging in the riba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for those who don't desist from the riba, فَأْذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, that declare and announce and know that you're going to be going to war with Allah and His Messenger. And as the companion said, whoever wishes to take riba, whoever wishes to take this interest, let him prepare his weapons, let him get his gun, let him get his weapons for the Day of Judgment. For on the Day of Judgment, he will be going to war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger. فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. And then, وَيَقُولُونَ سَيُغْفَرُ لَنَا. And at the end, Muslims, we're always falling back on, Allah is going to forgive us, even if we go to hellfire, we're only going to go for a little while. Dear brothers and sisters, imagine if you went to hellfire for 50,000 years. Even if you had La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, and you said that you're going to hellfire for only a little while, if that's what we're saying, who wants to go to hellfire for 50,000 years? Who wants to go to hellfire for 1 year? Who wants to go to Jahannam for 1 second? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dips that person into hellfire for just a dip, and that person had all the ni'mah of this dunya, he had more than anybody else, he said, was it worth it for that one dip in hellfire? He said it wasn't worth it. To dip into hellfire for 1 second. And so many Muslims are trying to fall back on this, سَيُغْفَرُ لَنَا, that Allah is going to forgive us. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the people of Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَقَالُوا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي أَذْهَبَ عَنَّا الْحَزَنِ.
When the people enter Jannah and they put their right foot into Jannah and they're entering it, they say,
الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي أَذْهَبَ عَنَّا الْحَزَنِ.
They say, all praises to Allah who took all the sadness away from us. Took all the sadness. These are the ahlul. They're the Ahlul Jannah. They're not the ones that were always sure that they're going to Jannah and that they're going to be forgiven. They were the ones who were always afraid that their actions weren't going to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so that made them work harder for Jannah. And then when they enter Jannah, they were finally safe. And you'll see in the battles that took place, subhanAllah, if you just read the history and some of the battles that the Israelis did against the Muslims, subhanAllah, you will see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had took away the nasr, took away the victory from the Muslims for the actions that they had done upon themselves. In 1973 to 1976, when the Muslims were fighting Israel, the Muslim government had came out, or they brought armies of entertainers and actresses and actors and actresses, sitcoms and soap operas, and started commanding the people, trying to encourage them to fight for their country, to fight for their Arab nationalism, to go forward. And you'll see those women coming on the stage, belly dancers coming on the television sets, encouraging the Muslims to go and fight. This is the state of the army that had fought them, and this is the state of the army that lost. And indeed they will lose. When they don't turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger, and when the flag is in La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, there won't be victory. In conclusion, a fundamental part of our deen is al-wala wal-bara. For many people, this term al-wala wal-bara may be the first time you've heard of this term. Al-wala wal-bara. Wala meaning loyalty. Meaning loyalty and love. Bara meaning hatred and disownment. This is a part of our deen, is to have wala, love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's messenger, the things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, to be loyal to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, and bara, to disown what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates, and to hate what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates. And when it comes to the Jews, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is angry with them, then it makes us angry what makes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala angry. This is our wala wal bara. And from the Quran and Sunnah, we see how to implement this wala and bara. Firstly, that we shouldn't take the Jews and Christians as our close allies, as our awliya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran,
يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تتخذوا اليهود والنصارى أولياء بعضهم أولياء بعض ومن يتولهم منكم فإنه منهم إن الله لا يهدي القوم الظالمين.
الله سبحانه وتعالى is commanding, O you who believe, don't take the Jews and the Christians as your close allies. بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ. They're the allies of one another.
of one another. وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ مِنْكُمْ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning that whoever amongst you, O believers, takes them as their allies, فَإِنَّهُمْ مِنْهُمْ, then he's one of them. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ, that Allah doesn't guide those people who transgress. Secondly, we shouldn't imitate the kuffar, and we shouldn't imitate the Jews and the Christians. And you'll see in the Sunnah, ruling after ruling of the Prophet ﷺ, beginning Khaliful Yahud, he would say, do not imitate the Jews. And you'll see ruling after Khaliful Majus, don't imitate the fire worshippers, and so on. And this forbiddance of imitating the Jews and the Christians are those things that when someone looks at them, it has become a symbol of their kufr. It's become an icon and a symbol of their kufr. To give you a clear example, is the collar, the white collar that a Christian priest would wear. If a Muslim, that would be, for example, a very clear example of someone that a Muslim should never wear a white collar, like a Christian would wear, because if a person was to see him, they would only think that that person is a Christian, because of that white collar. And subhanAllah, you will see, and I grew up with Muslims that liked the necklaces, the feminine necklaces. Our male Muslim men would wear necklaces like the Christians taught them to wear necklaces. And then on those necklaces, I've seen Muslims that put a cross on that necklace. And the Prophet ﷺ had commanded us to stay away from this. And in fact, this is entering, and this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ يَتَوَلْ, whoever takes them to close allies, loving them so much, liking the way they look, liking the way they dress, that they want to imitate them. And subhanAllah, many people may say, okay, let me take the cross off and put a Quran there, and then it's okay. But subhanAllah, just think back, follow the roots of where this necklace came from, the earrings for the men, the nose pierces, and you will see that it will be actors and actresses of the kuffar that they copied this from. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger told us to hate what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger hate. Thirdly, that and there's more rulings than this, but just to give you an example, that the Muslimah, it is haram for a Muslim woman to be married to a Jew or a Christian man who remains with his belief. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا هُنَّ حِلٌّ لَهُمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحِلُّونَ لَهُنَّ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are not lawful, i.e. the Muslim woman is not lawful for them, meaning the kuffar, and that would include the mushrikeen and the Jews and the Christians. In conclusion, if we think about all this and we say, is this a death sentence? Is this something that a Jewish person is born with and then he's doomed and cursed till the day he dies? It's not. For just like that very first verse that we recited in this khutbah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya Bani Israel, adhkuru ni'mati allati an'amtu alaykum. Remember my blessing upon you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, after all these verses that speak about what they did and how they earned the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you have to remember that the door of tawbah is open for everyone. The door of tawbah is open for everyone. And you see Jew after Jew entering into Islam. And I know some good brothers in Medina who may have come from New York, New Jersey, who were Jewish before. And if you look at all the brothers, you would say that they have the best khuluq. That it's not a death sentence upon them, a curse sentence. The person, so long as their soul doesn't come to their throats, and they're about to die, they have that chance to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran,
وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلُ الْكِتَابِ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا لَكَفَّرْنَا عَنْهُمْ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ وَلَأَدْخَلْنَاهُمْ جَنَّاتِ النَّعِيمِ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and if only the people of the scripture, وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ آمَنُوا, if they only آمَنُوا, if they only believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger, وَاتَّقَوْا, and feared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَكَفَّرْنَا عَنْهُمْ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ, that we would have expiated all their sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have forgiven them. وَلَأَدْخَلْنَاهُمْ جَنَّاتِ النَّعِيمِ, and we would have entered them into a joyous garden.
and a garden full of pleasure. And dear brothers and sisters, this door of Tawbah is open for everyone. It's open for everyone so long as they don't come to the end of their life.
إِنَّ اللَّهُ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم اغفر لحينا وميتنا وشاهدنا وغائبنا وصغيرنا وكبيرنا وذكرنا وأنثانا اللهم من أحيته منا فأحي على الإسلام ومن توفيته منا فتوفه على الإيمان اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات وألف بين قلوبهم وأصلح ذات بينهم وانصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم اللهم لعن كفرة أهل الكتاب الذين يكذبون رسلك ويقاتلون أولياءك اللهم خالف بين كلمتهم اللهم زلزل أقدامهم اللهم أنزل بهم بأسك الذي لا يرد عن القوم المجرمين إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون